This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Joe Martech, the very one that I know. You know, it was interesting, Tom. By the way, folks, those of you that have not listened to this show before, this is called the Team Martech Hour, and if you just listen to that disclaimer that came on the front of this, which was done by my assistant, which is Miss Nicole Messier, or Messier, depends if you're in the south or the north of France.
And they didn't learn me no French.
They don't learn me none of that either, right? Anyway, so the Team Martech started out doing radio shows, give or take, in 2004, and the concept was very simple. I'm a financial advisor called a stockbroker, securities principal, lots of licenses, lots of clients here and in 13 other states. And questions come up to me that I don't always know the answer to. So what I consider a responsibility that credible professionals have is to align themselves with other credible professionals. So the last one I got was Pastor Tom.
Okay.
Now, the problem is every time I ask him a question, he says, "That's not my bailiwick. Ask me something else." So I said,
"It's not my what?"
Bailiwick.
Okay. I said that.
How about Forte?
Forte.
that's a Ford. No,
back,
that's a Kia.
You're speaking French again?
Here we go. So anyway, I'm kidding about Pastor Tom. He's the moderator, producer, production manager, janitor,
bottle washer
at WCNO.
I was doing windows this morning.
And the window washer. Yeah, well, you know, that's right. Not all housekeepers do windows. That's true.
Is that true?
Yeah, I do windows. I don't mind doing windows. But, you know, a lot of people, they don't like doing windows for whatever the reason is.
You keep them clean enough that you walk into them?
Of course. Okay. I let my birds all smash into them so I know where they are. Anyway, so the concept is to put together a group of local professionals that can help people. Financial advisor Joe Martech, Greg Fasula, attorney, Vince Rosino, CPA, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, realtor, and then Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. So basically what I tried to do is assemble a group of local professionals that have all been in business a long, long time, that all live here, hope to die here, not necessarily soon, and we're here to help people. And we've been very, very, very fortunate that we've been able to help quite a few people over our tenure here.
Got a lot of calls last week.
Yeah, and we answer a lot of questions. And, you know, I oftentimes forget what, in fact, I had a young lady today ask me a question. She goes, "Well, do you talk about religion and Jesus and stuff on the program?" And I said, "No, because the other 23 hours a day, that's what they do."
Well, you do mention the Lord from time to time.
I do mention.
And Vinny does. And
yeah, we do. But you know what we don't do? We don't preach.
Well, you're not preachers.
We're not teachers.
No.
We're not singers. Boy, you know that.
Hallelujah.
Right. Hallelujah is about as far as I can go. But anyway, the concept we do is to try to help people on problems they may have. And quite a few people have called in, and we've been able to help them set their directions a little better and guide them into what they can get done without spending any money.
And, you know, this is one of the few programs that we have on the air that after you're off the air, through the week, people will have heard you,
right?
And they'll call the station, and they'll say, "You know, I heard a program last Wednesday. Can you give me a phone number? I want to talk to somebody." And we do that all the time. And so we know that you're doing something on this program that really is helping people with their finances, buying homes, insurance, you know,
selling
taxes,
homes,
all kind of good things.
It's like we had a question today about a fellow. He called in, and he wants to buy a lot. And he says, tell me the difference between a warranty deed and a quit claim deed. Now, you know, when you're in the business in real estate, you pretty much know what that is. But even if you had bought a house or three over your lifetime, you may not really know the difference between a warranty deed, even though that word warranty kind of gives you a clue, and a quit claim deed. Now, do you know the difference, Tom?
Between a warranty deed and quit
claim?
I know that a quit claim deed is like if somebody has purchased property from you and they want to give it back, they can, you know, give you a quit claim deed and just return the property to you.
Or let's say you own a piece of property.
And you want to give it to someone else.
And you want to sell it to me. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, okay, fine, I'll pay you $10,000 for that lot. And Tom says, okay, here, I'm going to sign this deed over to you, and here it is. Goodbye. You don't profess anything. You don't claim anything. You don't warrant anything. You just quit claimed that property away from you to whoever you want it to. Mm-hmm. And whether they paid or not makes no difference. That's a quit claim deed. Now, where's the risk in that?
Well, it may have a lien against it.
There you go.
Any kind of thing.
It could have all kinds of stuff. How do you find out about such things? Well, you actually can go down to the courthouse and you can look up that piece of property yourself and you can go through the records. It's not easy. And you can see if there's been anything filed against that piece of property. Now, otherwise you get what's called a warranty deed. A warranty deed normally is issued through a closing agent.
Title company.
Title company, attorney. Usually those two characters, and they're going to issue title insurance, which guarantees you ownership of that property, and it might be subject to a couple of caveats. Caveats means we don't protect you from that, and one of them might be an easement, that the government has an easement, or the city or the county or somebody to put in a utility line on the edge of your property, or who knows what, but usually they will disclose what they don't protect, what they don't cover. So you have a better form of ownership having a warranty deed than a quit claim deed. Not necessarily is it necessary to do one or the other. So this guy today that called in said, well, I'm paying $10,000 for this lot. It probably cost me $500 to $1,000 to go get a warranty deed and all that kind of good stuff where I can just quit claim it. And the guy can go down and just record it himself and pay whatever the taxes are on, you know, making the transfer, but he doesn't have to do that. And I said, yeah, you know, honestly, if it was me and I was you, that's what I would do, you know, because if he's willing to take that and you're willing to take that, then that's
but it could come back to bite you if there's something there that you don't know about and didn't find.
Then the other side of the coin was he said, quote, I've known this guy for a long, long time, you know, so it's not as though it was a hands, what do they call that kind of transaction where you don't know anything about the other person. But anyway, this was, he knew the guy pretty well. The key was, then the next question was preparing a quit claim deed. Well, you got to be careful. You know, every state has laws and every state has certain requirements in order to comply with the law. And if you don't do things according to the law, it could come back to bite you again. So no matter what, even if you did that quit claim deed, if you're not an attorney and if you don't know and don't do it regularly, the rules and the law, you should go to an attorney to have it done. So Greg Fasula, attorney, was on the show today, and that was a question that we have never had before in all the years I've been on the radio. We've never had that call. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the other calls we had were one time from Ms. Victoria Lloyd. We've got a young couple that has been talking to everybody in the group pretty much for the last few months that are buying a lot or buying a house, looking to buy a house. So she's toting them around and showing them houses and stuff. And he called in to say what a wonderful, magnificent person she is and how she puts up with him and all his questions and all the time. But that's what realtors, good realtors, do.
Mm-hmm. I got a question. How do you keep somebody from buying the lot next door to you?
That's exciting. Well, you shoot them. That helps.
No.
Well, you can't do that. It's against the rules.
That's that. You don't do that.
I'm
being facetious.
You take your son's ex boss and sick his wife on him.
No,
can't do that.
Don't do
either.
That either.
I'm looking for everything I can think of. Doesn't really necessarily a good idea.
I was trying to find gopher turtles and move them on there.
That'll work. You know, because it costs $2,500 a turtle
to move them,
to relocate them.
Yeah, I was talking to a fella today, and they were talking about they're getting ready to build on a piece of property, and they must get a deal on it because they were saying it was $700 for every hole, whether or not there was a turtle in it, to dig it up and move it.
See, that's the problem with the environmental things. Now, you know,
what about that quit claim deed?
Well,
if there's some environmental
that's
things?
You quit claim it, that person's stuck. The one that you now owns the piece of property. I give you $10,000, Tom, and you give me a quit claim deed that says I no longer own it. That's all that says on that piece of property. I go record that quit claim deed in my name. I now own that property. Now,
and if there's
I want to go get a
some
permit
reason
to build,
you can't build,
then that's tough.
You own
there's
it.
No warranty. See, there's no claim on guaranteeing anything when you do a quit claim deed. So the gopher turtles, I own a piece of property up on Indian River Drive, and I know that's always got gopher turtles, so I happen to give them to my neighbor every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I stomp on the mound that they made the hole and cave it in. So when
you're not supposed to do that.
I didn't say I did.
I didn't hear you say that.
I didn't say it. Different county, by the way.
Well, it doesn't matter. I think they're state protected.
Well, they are, but I'm giving them a better home.
You know, if the police show up here, I don't know you.
1-888-221-8990. My name is Pastor Tom, and I love gopher turtles. 1-888-221-8990. Now, you have in your life stopped your car and picked up a gopher turtle from getting run over by a car and moving.
I've done that.
Yeah, we've all done that. You ever picked up a snapping turtle and done that?
No.
Neither have I, because they are mean.
Yes, but I've harassed a turtle or two.
I have.
You know,
I've told them to move.
Get off
the street.
Get off the street. Try to help them around.
A couple of times in my life, I took a stick and kind of poked it in his jaw, and he grabbed a hold of the stick, and then I lifted him up and carried him because he was hanging on to that stick until I put him off the side of the road, you know. The other ones that I've never done either are soft-shell turtles, those great big old soft-shell turtles.
They're mean.
Man, and they are nasty looking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I don't know that they bite any worse than anybody else, but I don't want to take a chance with those either.
You don't want to find out.
No, sir. Now, those, they don't grab a hold of a stick. You got to kind of move them along.
Put your finger out there and see what it does.
That finger they might take. They like real food. 1-888-221-8990. This is the gopher turtle and sea turtle and what else?
No, it's not that show.
It's not wrong show. I'm sorry. We forgot about the show.
This is not Animal Planet.
Oh, that's, thank you. That we could rename it that. You know, the Team and Animal Planet Martech Show Hour.
Okay.
Or something like that.
But, you know, the quit claim deeds and other kind of deeds that, you know, anyone would get with a piece of property.
Right, right.
Wouldn't it be in their best interest just to go ahead and have it through a title company or someone that
we guaranteed talked about
so
that
they could be at peace of mind?
In my opinion, if it was my property and I'm buying it, I want to know that I own it.
Yeah, even if you've known somebody for years, there may be something about that property they don't know.
Well, you know, the one that we talked about was literally a tax lien that the person didn't know about, and the tax lien is not going to go away until that property is sold or until that tax lien is redeemed or paid for by somebody.
Now, even if it has a tax lien on it, he can quit claim deed it to somebody else?
You can quit. What you're doing is, I quit claiming. I'm just saying I don't own it anymore. I'm giving it away.
Okay.
Quit claim means
I... And the person that takes that,
they go down.
They assume all the liabilities.
Absolutely.
Everything. Okay.
Yeah. If you're not given a warranty deed and you're not saying, I'm warrantying this as my ownership and that it's free and clear or something, whatever. See, the warranty deed doesn't necessarily mean 100% of it's free and clear. There might be easements or restrictions or who knows, covenants.
Or liens or whatever.
All kinds of
somebody
things.
Somebody else may have a... What if you get a deed like that and find out that somebody else has ownership of part of it?
Guess what? If they're before you... You're out. You don't have any right. You can go back and sue the guy that quit claimed it to you, and you might be able to win in court if he's collectible.
But if he quit claimed it, he's given up his right.
That's all he's doing is giving up his right.
And you don't have any right because somebody else already owns it.
That's right. Your right is
you're out, and he's free.
You can go beat him up if you want, you know, but that won't do much for you.
Might
hurt your
hand. Might get you some free room and board somewhere.
Free room and board, right? Write this phone number down, folks. This is an important number. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. That's a toll-free number from any place and every place. I wonder, can they call from the Bahamas on that number?
Anybody anywhere in our listening area can call toll-free at that number.
Now, I wonder if But it's still just a one number.
We get calls from the Bahamas all the time.
There you go. Because I told you, when I was in the Bahamas, I was listening to the show all the way over. And it was 115 miles as the crow flies.
Wow.
Straight across. So
yeah, we've got a tremendous coverage area all the way down to Palm Beach, down into the...
Broward County.
Broward County, all the way up to...
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. My thang is tangled up.
My thang?
Yeah. But anyway, we get over there. Another to the Bahamas thing, quite often, every day.
If you don't want to talk on the radio, which some shows we get very few calls, this looks like one that's happening.
Well, as long as we're talking about turtles.
I guess that might be why they're not calling. But you can always call, as Tom said at the beginning of the show, anytime during the week, and Tom will pass your number on to us, and we'll get a hold of you. If by chance you ever call and don't get a call back within a day or two, please call again, because people do make mistakes. You know, when it moves from one person to another person to another person, sometimes they fall apart. So make it a point. If we didn't answer, it isn't because we're lazy or whatever. Somehow it got misplaced, or we thought we answered it or did whatever. But we're here to help. The mission we have on this show, very simply, is to help people with problems, direct them in the right direction. I think last week, or 2 weeks ago, we had a lady that had a question to do with real estate, and she didn't know what to do. And because it was a relatively simple thing for us that knew it, we could direct her on where to go and who to ask the questions to, so she could get her problem taken care of. And by the way, anybody that we have helped, once in a while, we don't mind somebody calling back up saying, "Hey, Joe, we really appreciate what you did. Thank you." You don't have to do any more than that. We kind of like it. In fact, I get a kick out of it. In fact, I'm going to wait for the kick because I got a caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Hello.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon.
Hey, you might turn your radio down because you're going to hear us twice if you have the radio.
I'm sorry about that.
Okay, good.
Yes.
How can I help you?
Yes, my name is Floyd Ross. I was listening to your program just now.
Very good.
And you were dealing with the matter of quit claim deed.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Now, I would call myself a victim. Uh-huh. I am joint owner of my home in Georgia.
Okay.
And my husband quit claim the house to someone else for $0. And now, this has been going on for the past 3 years, and I don't have any money to really hire a lawyer to get it resolved. But I heard information that I really piqued my interest, because I've been trying to get some closure on what can I do, because I'm left out in the cold. And we are joint owners. In this case, what can I do?
Now, you say joint owners. There's a different type of ownership. Sometimes there's a form of ownership that says we are partners, and I can do anything to that property, or you can do anything to that property. That's not what you call what you want, because sometimes, you know, it's like both being on a bank account. You can each sign the check. Well, one person could take all the money out and the other person wouldn't know, but that is the authority that was given. What I would do if I were you is call the county that property is located in, talk to the county clerk, tell them you and your ex or your husband own a piece of property, and give them the street address or the property description, have them look up the ownership on the property, and if there is a recorded quit claim deed, say, does it show any other ownership other than that person? In other words, if your husband had the authority to give away your property, and he may have, you're stuck. On the other hand,
he didn't. He didn't.
Okay, so he only gave away his half.
His half, yes.
Okay, I would call the county again and say, is this exactly what happened? And they will tell you over the phone, yes or no, because these are public records. Anybody can look them up. And they may tell you, try to get you to go online, but you can actually literally talk to them. And if you have a relative or a friend up there, that anybody can go in and look up a deed. Anybody can find out what the story is, because they're public records. So
wouldn't it have something to do with the way the names were recorded on the deed?
That's just what I was saying. It depends. She's saying he did not give away her half, but he gave away his half. Well, is that possible? Yes. you need to find out if that is exactly what happened and if that is a legal, if it's legal. Now, literally, the county that has that property recorded, they would tell you he issued a quitclaim deed to his half of the property, and if they recorded it on that property, it might be a legal document.
I had a situation with a quitclaim deed in my life where a piece of property was given back to me that I had sold, and there were some documents that had to be signed, and my wife and I both had to sign them because it said Tom and Kathy instead of Tom or.
Exactly.
And so depending upon how the names are listed.
It's until death, it's my house, it was our matrimonial.
Well, let me tell you this, if it says Tom and you know, husband and wife, I don't think he can give away his half. Now, that back again, you go to the courthouse or have somebody go or you call and you say, hey, here's my property. I want to see who is the recorded owner or nurse. And
the recorded.
And the county clerk, whatever county that's in, will direct you to the right person. So you just call up and tell them just what you told us, and they will direct you. And that's their job, is to help you and direct you to get you to the right person.
Okay. Could you repeat that person to whom I'm going to be speaking? The county, what?
You're going to talk to the clerk of the court in whatever county that is.
Okay.
So literally, when you call up the county building and you look in the phone book or whoever will give you the phone number, they that phone number, whoever answers that phone, they'll say, how can I help you? And you say, I need to talk to somebody about a piece of property.
Yeah.
And then they will start directing you, and then you tell them the story, just as you told me, and then they will say, what's the name of the property? What's the act, you know, the legal description? It could be an address or whatever, and they will look it up.
Okay.
And now what you do is this, if you run into problems with doing this and it gets over your head, you call me back on the radio or leave Pastor Tom a number, and then you and I can talk off the air. I can make the phone call up there because I'm more used to doing this and push them a little harder than you might.
That I would appreciate very much, because this has been drawn out since 2013. It's being drawn out. I made several efforts to make some impact. And
all right, then here's what you do. You get me exactly the legal description of the property and the county that it's in, you know, and then get me a phone number and I'll help you.
Okay.
You can call back the station anytime, and Tom will take your name and number, and then he'll call me, and I'll call you back, and I'll help you.
Okay. So to whom should I be speaking now? Who is me? You're saying me. Who are you?
Joe Martek.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, this is kind of a clue here. This is the Team Martek Hour, and I'm Joe Martek. This is a clue now. You got to pay attention.
I'm aware.
I know. I'm picking on you now. Is that okay? Okay. We got to have some humor. Not all situations are dire. Yours, I'm pretty sure we can get cured here. At least we'll know what the law is.
Okay.
Now,
thank you very much.
You have a blessed day. Bye. Yeah, and I think, didn't this lady call us before about this? It seemed like...
If not, it sounds familiar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's a situation where when you're a partner on something, you can be very careful how that partnership is
worded. Sometimes, you know, people will think that they have a right or to something, and if the deed is not recorded correctly, it might be that, you know, it's like I have a automobile and it says Tom or Kathy on there.
Yeah.
If my wife wants to this afternoon, she could take it down, trade it in, and get rid of it.
Anything.
And I'd come home and say, well,
where's my car?
Yeah. I got rid of it.
Yeah.
And she has all right to do that.
She has a legal right to do it.
And maybe on my car, I might want that title to be that way.
Exactly.
But there may be properties that I want it to say Tom and Kathy.
Exactly.
So that we both have to be there and be present to make that transaction.
Now, Anna, let's talk about this subject a little bit. This is not to do with money, but this happens all the time, and we talked about this on the other show today, and that's how a homestead property is deeded. Let me just give you the example we were talking about. Client of mine, husband and wife, owned a house, and they have a trust. Now, normally, the reason you have a trust, folks, is to avoid probate when you die. doesn't go through the court system. Why do you do that? Well, courts take about 6 months and cost lots of money. Once you do a trust and you put things in a trust, they're not subject to probate, so they can pass quickly, easily to family, relatives, whoever you want them to, without as much aggravation. Well, anyway, normally when I get a new client, and if they have a trust, I say, let me see the trust. I want to go through it to make sure it's done properly. And not that all attorneys are incompetent or competent, but I have seen mistakes made, and I've helped people correct them, and I don't charge for that. I just want to make sure they have things done right. Well, this particular client said, no, we know what we're doing. We don't need to show it to you. You know, we're fine. I said, fine. And I did business with him. Well, by and by, he died. So his wife calls me up and says, hey, husband died, and the house was not put in a trust, and the attorney that did the trust said, when one of you dies, the other one come back in, and I'll put the house in the trust. So Dan and I were on the show, and Greg Fasula was there at that time, the attorney. Dan's the independent insurance agent. We looked at Greg, said, Greg, why would an attorney do that? And Greg said, I don't know. Dan and I looked and said, money. He's now going to charge another fee. There is not another reason in the world why he wouldn't do it, because the biggest single asset you have is your home. You want that to avoid probate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so I said, okay, hey, no problem. I'll take you down to the courthouse, and we'll record the house, and we'll put it in the trust, and I won't charge you a couple $100. You buy me lunch. Even Wendy's cost you $5 or $10. So she said, great, Joe, let's go. So we went down to the courthouse and showed her the deed on the property, etc. And the clerk said, well, I can't record your deceased husband's part in the trust. I can only record your part, because on the deed, it did not say husband and wife. It just had both of their names. It's no different than Tom and Joe both own a piece of property as partners. And the deed would say Joe and Tom, not or. So literally.
So her husband's half of that estate had to go through probate before she could get it.
Yes. Now, think about
nice.
Oh man, think about this. If it had been a second or third marriage, and let's say there was children by the other, not the natural parent.
There's a word for that.
It's not good.
Nasty.
Nasty. So literally what happens is the kids have a legal right to their share of that house.
Well, even though it may not have
didn't intend.
Their mother or father may not have had any investment in that property at all.
Point is, makes no difference. That's the law. So literally what happened was, luckily they were not stepchildren, and all the three kids had to sign off of their interest in the house. It had to go through the court system, and then we put the house in mom's trust. Obviously she did not go back to that attorney, but literally what I suggest to everybody that owns a piece of property, any piece of real estate, look and see how it's deeded. If it does, if you're married and it does not say husband and wife, HW, married couple, something that denotes marriage, one half of that house is his, one half of that house is hers, and it is subject to separate court action. But if it's married, one dies, it's the other one's automatically. So it's very, very important that you just double check those things, because it isn't that it happens every day, but it seems like it happens every week or two to somebody, because somebody made a mistake when they did it. And you know, people make mistakes.
It's not that it's a malicious mistake.
No,
it's just something that's an oversight.
Oversight. And you know, let me tell you what. Somebody comes to work one day and they had a fight with their wife or whatever happened, and they make a mistake. That happens constantly in life. Now, you might be the victim, the unwitting victim, but you got to pay attention.
You may not even know at the time that it occurred.
No. So the key thing is this, especially on a homestead, you want to know that it's husband and wife on that deed. I had another client down in Palm Beach County. In fact, her husband, I don't know if he was an ordained minister or not. I never did ask her, but he died, and he was a preacher, and he owned multiple pieces of property, and these two had been married for many, many years, and every piece of property was in his name only. Now, in Florida, a spouse has a legal right to a certain percentage, but it took her 3 years to get those properties sold. She had to give the kids X amount of money, and she got some. But literally, she didn't get the lion's share, but because there was that many pieces of property, it was worth her while to go through all that aggravation to get it done. But she said this was not his intention. He just didn't know. Because a lot of those properties he paid cash for, and or he had people carrying notes on them rather than going through a title company and doing stuff. So it was called, they did it the old-fashioned way. He went down to the courthouse and signed a piece of paper and said, okay, it's your piece of property. And that was the end of it, and it wasn't done properly. So literally there are times where an attorney becomes very necessary or very intelligent, and that's one of them. Big, you know, you think about your house is normally the biggest investment you'll ever have. And there's nothing like losing it because of a stupid mistake.
Yeah, you don't want that.
1-888-221-8990. Now, if you got questions to do with money, that's a really, really good idea, because that's what I do. You know, my job is to make people money and protect their money. In fact, let me talk a little bit about that. Now, there's lots of different types of ownership of money. You've heard of an IRA. An IRA is an individual retirement account, and the government says you can put money into that account every year while you're working, and you don't have to pay tax on it if it's a traditional IRA. And then when you turn 59 and a half, you can start taking it out without a penalty, but you would be subject to tax. The idea of that IRA is to save money for retirement. Now, it can also be what's called a 401k, which you have at your job. Same rules. You put money in, you don't pay tax on it. Sometimes the employer puts money in to help match it, which is kind of like a golden handcuff, we call it. It's an incentive to you to stay working there. And then, back to the same rule, when you turn 59 and a half, you can start taking that money out, and you don't pay penalty, but it'd be subject to tax. Another thing you might know about a 401k, and it also can be other numbers and letters, anything that was done through an employer, 403B, 457, there's all kinds of different numbers. There's SEPs, simples, there's words and words and words, but they all have the same basic rules, that money is not taxed while it's going in, and if you take it out before age 59 and a half, you pay a penalty, plus it's subject to whatever the tax is at that time. So most people don't want to touch that money unless they have to, for whatever the reason might be, because of the penalty and the tax. Now, you also have inside, if you're working for a company, that 401k, 457, 403. And when you leave them, normally what people do is roll them out so that the employer is no longer controlling it, and you roll it into what's called this IRA, Individual Retirement Account, which you control, which means you can put it wherever you want. You can go to the bank with it. You can go to an insurance company. You can go to a stockbroker like me. It can be invested in anything that is an approved investment account, which if once you're a licensed securities rep or an insurance agent, they've only got so many licensed things that they can do. There are things that are not necessarily compatible with them. You got to be careful with an unscrupulous person, but there's not too many people that I've ever seen that try to get your IRA money and roll it into something, because normally the people that are holding that money, before they will send it, one of their fiduciary responsibilities is to have a good feel that where they're sending it is legal and proper. So paperwork all has to be done, but it's something that somebody like me or other people in the business, they do automatically for people. In fact, my poor girl Nikki, it'll take me 10 minutes to get some work done paperwork-wise, and she may be working for two more hours making sure all that paperwork is done properly, because there's sometimes 20 and 30 pages that need to be done, and the T's and I's all have to be dotted and crossed and done properly. But rollover on a 401k, which means it's a tax-free thing. So I've seen people have retirement accounts, $1 million. I mean, big retirement accounts. And they roll that over tax-free into an account that they now control. They can put it in a bank, they can put it with somebody like me, they got all kinds of different places it can go, and it's now called an IRA.
Now, what if they are retiring and they want to roll that out? Can they take part of it, all of it?
Well, you always, it's your money.
Mm-hmm.
You can always take any part or
without penalty. Maybe I should
say at age 59 and a half, under that age, you pay a penalty, 10% penalty, plus the tax. So normally you wait until you're 59 and a half and older, to start taking the money. That's the whole concept. The reason the government has this rule and where they came up with 59 and a half, there's not a person alive that knows, and where that it could have been, why a half? You know, I have no clue. Anyway, the whole concept is the government says we'll allow you to make money and not pay tax on it while you're making good money, and it'll help you tax-wise. And then when you finally get old and retired, now you can start taking it out. And normally when you are, you're not making as much money, so your tax rate goes down considerably. I mean, I know people, husband and wife, that are making 50 grand a year between Social Security and retirement accounts. They're not paying any tax at all because of their deduction. So it's all good stuff. And my job is to help counsel you on how this is possible and how best to protect your money. In fact, I had an interesting one this week. Young couple came in, and they're both school teachers, and they're moving to the Dominican Republic for a year as school teachers. And in the Dominican Republic, they're going to get paid, and it's not subject to tax. But they were talking about putting money in an IRA, and I said, can't. It's got to be earned income that is subject to tax in the United States. So if it's not earned income showing up on a 1099 W-2, there's no tax on it over in the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. If they bring that money back in, then they have a different story. But then it won't be earned income anymore. It'll be passive income.
And they still can't put it
in. Still can't put it in an IRA. So I said, you need to
Can they put it in a 401k?
No. 401k has to be done by the employer.
Okay. So who's paying them while they're over there?
The school system in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, okay. So they're working for a foreign government.
Yeah.
School system.
Yeah. Okay. Now, if they could work a deal with that government to do something, which I've never heard of, but I'm sure anything is subject to possibility. But the key is, in order to build that retirement account up, it has to be earned income. You can't just put income.
Is there any other kind of retirement account that they could put that into?
No.
There's no
earned income. Earned, meaning paycheck.
Okay,
but 1099, W-2.
I understand that for the 401k, I mean, for the IRA.
Old, you know, I'm worried about you.
Well, I know I'm not as smart as some folks, but
well, you're kidding me. Anyway,
but the thing is there's no retirement account available that
if you live out of the country.
If you live out of the country, that you can put your money into.
If you file tax on it in America.
Okay.
The answer is yes. It's earned income. That's how you're showing it, as earned income. You have an employer that's paying you X.
What if you reported it as earned income?
Well, then I bet you could. Now you'd have to pay tax on it, and you can put it aside. So literally what happened...
Okay, well, imagine that I come back to the States.
Right.
I just put it in the bank. Now I can put it in the bank.
Yes, you can.
Okay. And a year from now, I want to take it out of the bank and put it in a retirement account.
No. Unless you're working. Here we go. You ready?
Okay.
So let's take your example exactly. That year you're back, you make $20,000.
Okay.
And you have $20,000 in the bank.
Okay.
You're allowed to put $5,500 a year into this retirement account. Well, you could take $5,500 out of the bank. It doesn't have to come out of your paycheck.
And put it in
that. And you can put it in that IRA. Now, if you're over age 50, you can put $6,500 in. But anyway, those are the rules. Now, you know, a lot of rules don't need to make sense. They just are the rules. And the job that most people have is to make sure you stay out of trouble and not do things that are not that are improper, fattening, or immoral as far as the government's concerned. So that's pretty much our job. 1-888-221-8990. It's toll free from any place and every place. And this is Joe Martek, and this is the Team Martek Hour without the team. It's Pastor Tom and Joe today. So far, talked a little bit about IRAs, talked a little bit about 401ks. Now, there's other forms and numbers of retirement accounts. Let's say you're self-employed and you work all by yourself and you don't have employees. Well, there are certain kinds of retirement accounts. You can put $12,000 a year aside. There's different rules the government has depending on your status. So literally what happens is each individual person you have to look at separately. Part of it, what you just missed, Tom, was if you're a self-employed person all by yourself,
mm-hmm,
and you don't have any employees, they have different types of IRAs that you can put $12,000-$15,000 aside and not pay tax on. You can put higher amounts.
Okay.
But if you have employees, now you have to do the same thing for them too, and all of a sudden it doesn't become as palatable. So there's rules depending on whatever kind of formula you've got, that as long as you stay within the rules, these things can all be taken care of. The other side of the coin is all these things can be rolled over from one point to another. Let's say you can go to bank A, broker B, insurance company C, and you can move the money from one to the other, any part or all of it, no tax. It's called a transfer or a rollover. As long as you don't put it in your pocket, there's no tax. In fact, the government even says you got 60 days if you put it in your pocket to put it back into something else. Without paying tax or penalty. Now, let me tell you, if you do that, the odds are pretty good. You're going to get a note from the government that says, wait a minute, and you're going to have to prove to them that you did put it not within that 60-day period. Because every time...
Now, what if you took it out for 60 days?
Right.
And made a quick loan to somebody, they paid it back, you made $500-$600, is that taxable income?
Well, answer is probably yes. Any kind of income you make in America is subject. Uncle Sam wants his fingers. So when you talk to your tax person, you're going to report that. But let's say you had $100,000 sitting in that retirement account and you made $100,000 while it was out when you put that $100,000 back in. Well, there's no tax, no penalty on the $100,000 that you took out for that 60 days as long as you did it. That other $100,000 that you made now is subject to whatever tax, whatever structure, whatever company, mm-hmm. whatever you did. There's all kinds of stuff. But the government does give you 60 days to play with it. Not 61.
60.
1-888-221-8990. You look like you might be thinking, Tom. I'm seeing some smoke.
Think me?
let me talk about a couple of different types of investments. And most people have heard me now talk for a good while that I'm very, very skeptical of the stock market today. Basically, for the last 2 years, the market's been flat. And one of the reasons that I'm skeptical of it. Most people don't hear this and don't very often understand it, but today most of the prognosticators and the quote experts are saying the market is full, meaning it's properly priced or maybe it's overpriced. Mm-hmm. Now, how do they come to that conclusion? Well, they have what's called a price to earnings ratio. Now, without getting into a long dissertation on that, if the price to earnings ratio on an individual stock is 10, that's considered good. If it starts to go up higher than 10, that means the company might be overpriced. If it goes up over 20, then usually that's what they call it's full, and it's not a good value anymore because it's the price of the shares of stock are more than the company is making. So somehow or other, there's some emotion involved there or something that makes it go up a little bit higher. Like very often companies that aren't making a profit, but they sound good, look good, might be good, they get real high priced and sometimes they come down like a rock. So today, the PE ratio overall is pushing 20 on the stock market. So most people in the business are a bit cautious and a bit afraid of the overall market because of that PE ratio. And for the last 2 years, I basically, in my opinion, said it's going to stay flat, and it pretty much has. So what I've told people, don't get greedy. Oh, guess what? I got a caller I got to take here in the meantime. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing, sir?
Very good. Thank you.
I just heard you mention something as far as being self-employed and trying to put away some money.
Right.
So I'd heard on another radio station someone advertised as far as being a financial planner. You think could that be something you could do by yourself, or you would need someone like a financial planner, like a professional?
I have never heard anybody doing it by themselves because you have to fill out certain paperwork. I imagine you could, but I've never heard of anybody doing it. Because mm-hmm. here comes a way maybe you could do it. Let's talk about that. I'm going to give you an idea. I'm assuming you have a bank.
Yeah.
Okay, and you are a self-employed businessman?
Yeah.
Okay. Walk into your bank, talk to one of the bank officers, and say you want to open up a retirement account, and you want to have a IRA, but you want to put into that IRA more than 55. How old are you?
46.
Because you are limited to $5,500 a year. But if you have what's called a SEP, S-E-P IRA, you're allowed to put more money into it. There are different types of IRAs depending on you and your job. If you're the only person, the only employee, whatever, you can put more money aside. When you talk to those people at the bank, if they roll their eyes and they fall asleep on you, you're talking to the wrong person. You know what I'm saying.
Exactly.
But if...
I mean...
Then you could open up that account yourself. The bank is not going to charge you, or they might charge you $25 or $35. But let me just give you this. No broker that I know of is going to charge you anything to do this account. They're going to open it up, and the money goes into a money market account that doesn't pay you anything, but doesn't cost you anything. And then it can be invested in whatever you want it invested in. And at that point, you would negotiate how that person gets paid, if they get paid at all.
Okay.
So if you dealt with me, let's just say we opened up an account and we went into some vehicles where there is no commission deducted from that vehicle whatsoever. And there are vehicles that do that. Rather than getting into specifics, you and I would have to sit down and I'd have to look at you and say, hey, where's our goal? How long are you going to work? What are you trying to accomplish? Let's see if we can put the horse in the cart in the proper order.
Oh, okay. So as far as someone mentioned, make sure that the individual is certified and not just a financial planner.
Well, here's what happens, and I don't know that makes any difference, because you go in the bank, they don't have to be anything to open this account. Anybody can open it. It's called the custodian that holds the money has to be duly licensed to do that. So banks are, stockbrokers have a broker dealer that are, insurance companies have products that are. Some people are not fully licensed. They may be limited to only certain things. So, and I talk about this on the radio too. If you look at the bottom of a business card, if you don't see what says securities offered through XYZ broker dealer, SIPC, FINRA, on the bottom of that card, you're probably not dealing with a financial advisor, financial planner that's licensed. Anybody can use a title. You know what I'm saying? I can call myself whatever I want. So what you want to do is to know that you're dealing with somebody that's fully, in my opinion, fully licensed. So you have more options than just a guy that is only licensed, let's say, to sell insurance.
I know you're on the radio, but I'm in Palm Beach County area. Do you know anyone down here?
Of course I do. I come down. I've got lots of clients in Palm Beach County.
Okay.
You gave your name and number to Tom when you called, right?
Yeah.
What I'll do is off the air, I'll give you a call back, and if I miss you tomorrow, I'll catch up with you. And what's the best time to call you?
I'm in air conditioning, so
you carry your cell phone around with you all the time, right?
Sometimes I can't even answer it. But
I know, but leave a message, right?
Yeah.
And at this time of year, you're not busy at all, right?
No, I'm not busy.
Yeah.
I have nothing to do.
Yeah, right. That's what I figured. All right, my man. Thanks for calling. All right. We'll get back to you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. 1-888-221-8990. Anyway, yeah, that's I had to pick on them about AC guys. When it's 90 degrees every day, that's when everybody's AC gets bad, and all of a sudden it's not working, and these guys are all burning the midnight oil. What's happening with him is the economy's not all bad right now, so people are doing okay, and these guys are going to be working a whole lot harder than the normal, and he's making some good bucks. So finding a way to put some of it aside and save it, so you don't pay tax on it when you have a good year, is a great idea, because, you know, we're all going to get old if we don't die. And if we do die, there's some relatives are going to be happy because you're going to leave them some money. Which, by the way, leads me to another subject. And Tom, you probably know this one.
Okay.
If you have an IRA,
okay,
a 401k, any type of retirement plan, it's in your name only. It can never be in more than one name, but you can name a beneficiary. And now most of us, if we're married, we name our spouse, and then we would normally have what? That's a
secondary mission.
Secondary one would be a contingent, which would be normally your kids. Now, rules are that money can pass from you to your spouse tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes her IRA. And if it goes from you to your spouse to the kids, it's all tax-free until they put it in their pocket. So literally, you don't want to leave an IRA to an estate or to anybody except a blood relative unless it's a charity. So the concept is it'll pass as long as you put that beneficiary in there properly. And I have not seen it done wrong for a long, long time, but it has been done wrong a few times. But normally you want to make sure that it goes to your spouse, and if not, you don't have a spouse, it goes to your children. And you don't need to name all your kids. You can name one, two, three, all of them separately, 20%, 5%. I mean, I've had clients that said, hey, I've got four kids. I don't want 25, 25, 25. Some of them have already got their inheritance, so I want 40, 40, 10, 10, 40%, 40%, 10%, 10%, to make it fair. So you and by the way, when you have these designations, until the day you die, you can change them. And I always say to people, when you're starting to make up your mind, okay, let's assume you drop dead right this minute. What do you want to happen right this minute? So that's what you put down today. Tomorrow you can change your mind, or the day after, anytime you want. And I've had people change beneficiaries multiple times over the years. I've had cases where they had a child that was a druggie, and the child got straightened out. They were taken out of the system for a period of time, and they were put back in. And different things happen. 1-888-221-8990. And I've got another call. Caller's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. I had a question about a quick claim deed.
Sure, go ahead.
I had a piece of property that was in my wife's name and my name, and because of a medical issue, it was changed by an elder care attorney into just my name, and then we had to have a trust, and then it was the same thing and moved into the trust. And I had a fellow that was interested in purchasing the property, and I was looking at the tax statement, and I noticed on the tax statement it's a vacant piece of property. It's got a tax ID number.
Right.
And the tax ID number and the number on the quit claim deed, they left one number out of the digit on the deed.
And that's just a mistake. I think that can be cured by going down to the courthouse and just showing proof that you are who you are, and have them correct it.
Well, I was in Dixie County, which is in North Florida.
And we'd have a nice weekend.
And
I would call that county up.
I did. I called the clerk of the court up there and told her, you know, I noticed on the property taxes it had one more digit than the deed. And she told me that wasn't their problem.
Don't you love it? I would call back again and see if you get a different person. I've often told this to my girl in the office. Don't take no until you got it three times. You get somebody in a bad mood, they hang up on you. Well, call up somebody else that might be in a good mood that might help you.
Yeah.
But the truth is, if it's done improperly, what you might just do is a signed, notarized statement, and you send it up there, return receipt, to be recorded with that document. And that'll confuse them to no end, and now they'll have to pay attention to you. But
yeah, well, they told me to call my attorney, so I called him and told him what happened. And I don't know which time they left a digit out. I think the first time they did it was changed twice. And he said it wasn't a big deal. He could write a letter if need be.
And did he?
Because I had somebody. No, he said if anything, I told him there was somebody wanting to purchase a property, and I was concerned about, you know, the number not being the same, you know. And he said if anything came up, he didn't think it would be a problem, even though there was one digit missing.
He's probably right. But I know how you're feeling. You're saying, let's wait until I have it sold and go to closing, and it won't close.
Yeah.
And now I got to chase down the attorney and get the letter, and it takes another 2 weeks. I know exactly what you're saying. I would call back to the clerk of the court again and just say, is, quote, is this a problem because they left out one digit?
Right.
And the person will say, not my problem. Call back again. Get somebody else a little higher up. And the worst you can do, call one of the county commissioners and say, hey, you know, I'm a taxpayer and I've been this and you're that and you're an elected official and I appreciate everything right. you've done, but I'm having a problem. I just want to ask you, just can you make a phone call and make sure that I'm not going to have a problem down the road, or my wife's not, or my right. kids aren't, right. and, you know, and hey, you know.
All right.
And we got these right. we got these, quote, government yeah. servants. You remember them?
Yeah, I know. She told me the same thing the attorney did. She didn't think there would. She didn't think.
I love that word, don't you? I like that.
Yeah. Both of them are thinking the same thing. Yeah. They think there might not be a problem.
Yeah. They're both sitting in the same bathtub, you know, and they don't care.
But are they sure?
Right. Are they sure? See, they, and I agree with you. I that really aggravates me and worries me to no end, because sooner or later, and it would seem like it would be nothing to correct it. So why don't we just correct it now? So I would make two or three phone calls, and if you can't get any satisfaction off calling a county clerk, get a different person. Of course, that's a small county. There may only be one person in that department. You know, I mean, that's
true
a
true story.
Another problem. But
yeah, I got the clerk of the court. That was who
I know. And you got
me to call, so there probably is only one of those. <I know. laughs>
Can you say, when you get them and they say, we don't think it's a problem, you say, well, how do I correct it? And they'll say, we don't know and we don't care. Say, do you have an assistant that's nicer than you? That'll score big points.
But All right,
my man, good luck.
I'll give him a call. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, it's government servants, right, Tom?
They don't know and they don't care.
Well, sometimes they do, though. You know, I've had
There are some good people.
I've had some extremely good luck, and especially, I mean, Martin County. I've walked in, and I've had some of these couple girls, they've really gone out of their way to help. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. And then the Social Security Administration, I've had nothing but wonderful people there, here locally, gone in with clients, made appointments, and sat with them. And they really went out of their way.
In St. Lucie County, I've had to go over and look at records and things on a couple of occasions. Most of the time, they were helpful.
Yeah.
The only time that I've ever encountered anybody that wasn't helpful was over here in Martin County. Building department.
You catch people in a bad mood one day, mm-hmm. and that does happen. You know, and you think about, I don't care what job you're in, if you're yelled at all day long by people, by the time the next person comes along, you're not usually in a good mood.
That's right. Well, we're out of time.
We're out of time, folks. 888-221-8990. I want you to all call Pastor Tom all week long and bug him and tell him that you need our help and you call us back. 1-888-221-8990. Thank you, and until next week.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.